Within the next few minutes, a major crime will be committed somewhere in the United States. Before this program is off the air, a criminal will have struck and vanished, having accomplished a perfect crime. But is it? From his files, The Man in Black brings you another story of a crime that was almost perfect, of a criminal who made only one mistake. And now, The Man in Black.
The young man's footsteps echoed hollowly across the cobblestones of the deserted village square. His pace was regular, brisk, until he reached the steps of the church, and there he paused. And for a long moment, the half-light of a nearby street lamp caught the sensitive features of his young face as he narrowed his eyes and peered intently up toward the bell tower. Slowly, then, the church bell began to peal, and the young man smiled. He could see the bell, but nothing else. Apparently satisfied, he hurried up the church steps, in through the vestibule and back to Father Vincent's quarters. Somewhere along the way, the smile left his face and was replaced by an expression of grave concern. It was this expression that greeted Father Vincent as he admitted the young man to his rooms.
"Clyde, my son, what is wrong? You're troubled. Are you ill?"
Clyde managed a weak smile. "I'm not ill, Father. Troubled, yes." His eyes indicated the bell tower. It's he, old Branson, who troubles me." Father Vincent evidenced concern.
"The sexton? But why, Clyde?"
"Well, Branson and I had a long talk this evening. His health is good, exceptionally good. And his faith, his spirits are in excellent order." And here the priest smiled. "Thanks to you, my son. You bring him such happiness." There was protest in Clyde's reply. "Please, Father, listen to me. He'll be down soon. I have to meet him to walk him home. There's not much time to talk. Now, perhaps I'm wrong, but I worry about him climbing to the tower. When I don't worry about him, I fear that he may fall from the tower itself. His health is good, yes, but he's an old man, Father. His step's not as sure as it was. You understand. I felt I had to tell you." A great warmth and admiration reflected in Father Vincent's eyes.
"You would have him retire as sexton of our church, son? Why, next to you, this is his whole life. It gave him a usefulness his nature demanded when he felt there was nothing else to live for. Why, to take it away from him now, to say to him his usefulness is gone, would do a grievous wrong, Clyde. Perhaps a fatal wrong."
Later that night, long after old Branson was asleep, Clyde smiled to himself in the darkness of his own room. Father Vincent had reacted just as Clyde knew he would. To relieve Branson of his duties as sexton might indeed prove fatal. Father Vincent and Clyde both realized that. What the good priest did not realize was that keeping the selfsame job would also prove fatal for old Branson. The sexton would fall from the bell tower to his death. And Clyde? Clyde would be miles from the scene of the accident at the time. Or so it would appear. Clyde let a week pass, then two. And finally he settled on the night itself. He planned it, just as carefully planned every step of his way into the old sexton's heart. 5 years before, Branson's wife and only son had died tragically in an accident, and Clyde had appeared, out of orphan poverty, to take their place, and with very good reason. Old Branson was a man of means in the village. It was widely known now that when the old man died, it was Clyde who would inherit his wealth. But 5 years was a long time, and Clyde waited impatiently for the old man to die. Finally convinced that it was he and the job as sexton that actually kept Branson alive, Clyde settled on a course of murder. In recent months, he had formed the habit of visiting a neighboring community on a certain night each week. On his way out of town, he would wave at Henry at the hamburger stand. Later, as he returned, he would wave at Henry again. Henry would make a fine witness when the time came. Further, Clyde had a carefully contrived short cut.
He could drive past Henry if... Oh, nuts. Can you take that? Can we take it over again?
Just pick it up. Go back about a sentence behind it, Paul.
Can you cut it out?
Later, as he returned, he would wave at Henry again. Henry would make a fine witness when the time came. Further, Clyde had carefully contrived a shortcut. He could drive past Henry a few miles, circle Bath.
Can we cut it and go again? Oh, this is murder.
Go back and pick it up the same place again, Paul.
Later, as he returned, he would wave at Henry again. Henry would make a fine witness when the time came. Further, Clyde had carefully contrived a shortcut. He could drive past Henry a few miles, circle back on a less traveled path, seclude his car in the woods behind the church. It was always possible to enter the bell tower unnoticed, and Clyde had proved to himself that no one was visible to the street from the tower. Once he had pushed old Branson from the tower, it would become a simple matter to complete his circle tour and again pass Henry as he entered the village. The night was at hand. With apparent ease, Clyde repeated his well-rehearsed plan. Henry was at his post to wave a greeting. No one else traveled the back road that night, and all was serene as Clyde made his way through the woods, then silently up the narrow twisting steps to the bell tower. Old Branson had just begun to pull the bell when he saw Clyde and smiled, for Clyde was like his son. Clyde smiled too, and when the old sexton pulled the bell for the last time, Clyde moved quite quickly and surely. The old man fell to certain death without a word. Fittingly enough, he fell noiselessly into the cemetery to the side of the church. Clyde took one brief look below and then made his way as silently as the old man had fallen, back through the woods to his car. Half an hour later, he was entering the village again. Sure enough, Henry looked up from his duties to wave again at Clyde. The circle was complete. The crime was perfect. And yet... 2 short days later, Clyde Ross was arrested for the murder of the old sexton. Where had he made his mistake? What thin web of circumstance became the cord about his neck? As in the case of most perfect crimes, Clyde turned out to be his own hangman. If he had not told Father Vincent of his concern for the sexton's safety, he might well have lived to inherit the old man's wealth. But because he told his story so convincingly, the good father took the problem to the sexton himself. And old Branson, touched by Clyde's obvious love for him, devised a signal for Father Vincent to assure him that all was well. He rang the church bell 4 extra times to signify that he was not in danger, that Clyde was there.
The Man in Black has brought you from his files another case history of a criminal who attempted to commit the perfect crime. This is the CBS Radio Network.